Hello guys, and welcome to Happy Single Mums.
Are you really just going to copy everything I'm saying?
Yes! Hello guys, and welcome to Happy Single Mums, a podcast surrounding real single mummy life, talking about subjects from self-doubt to business to baby father drama, sex and loneliness. I want to ask real questions to my guests about real single mummy life. Can you really be happy? And can you be happy as a mum in general? Every episode will deliver the best hard-hitting topics surrounding mummy life and the innate goal to try and find real happiness. So here's your host, me, Khalifa. I'm breaking your arms, I'll lose control when I get there. Hey guys, and welcome to the Happy Single Mum podcast. I am your host, Khalifa, and we have a magnificent lady from Spain. Her name is Lavinia Brown. The reason why I wanted her to come on the podcast is because she has an amazing platform, guys. I'm going to repeat that, an amazing platform. And what she does, she discusses the inner child healing, and she's an inner child healing expert. And I think that is something that as single moms especially, we need to address it, because we might call it a pattern, or we might call it generational curses. But oftentimes I hear single moms, and I've said it myself as a single mom, that there's certain things that my parent has done, and I said I would never ever do that, and then I've done it. I would never shout at my child, and I've done it. I would never take out my emotions on my kid, and I've done it. And those are the things that we need to address as parents, so we don't kind of pour that out on our kids. By all means, we all make mistakes as moms. No one is a perfect parent. Every kid needs therapy at one point. But I love the fact that you are addressing, Lavinia, something that is needed. We need to understand and soothe and love that inner child, so we do not hurt our innocent babies as parents. So please let the audience know a bit about yourself, your background, and why you started this amazing platform.
Well, thank you for being here doing what you do. I think you're, like I said before, you are my heroes. I honestly I nearly died having children with a partner. So without a partner, I can't even fathom, because I was in a very, very deep, dark place. That's what brought me to this work. I at one point thought I can't do this, and my kids would be better off without me. Almost from a very practical sense, I was like, yeah, of course I'll be sad if I'm not here, but they'll be better off in the long run. That is how toxic I felt inside. So I looked fine on the outside. I'm sure no one would have thought that I was depressed or worried or whatever from the outside, because I'm good at putting on a mask and performing and rising to the occasion, because that was what my parents taught me to do. But inside, I was really struggling. And I've been doing inner work. I'm quite old now. So I'm 48. I've been doing inner work since I was 23. So that's 25 years, long time. At every stage, though, no one was giving me the tools until I came across the inner child. I kept being told, you've just got to love yourself. And I was like, oh my God, if one more person tells me that, I'm going to punch them, because no one's telling me how. I don't even like myself right now. How do I love myself? Tell me the how and I'll do it, but just give me a method. And no one could ever give me that until I found inner child work, which for me was the entry point that I needed. Because like I said, I didn't particularly even like myself. But with the inner parent, it's not you that has to do anything. You don't have to love yourself. Your inner parent loves you. And that was kind of the entry point for me to start to understand, oh, maybe I'm not that toxic because someone else is loving me, even though that person was imaginary. So it's kind of crazy that you are imagining this whole scenario in your head. But going back to kind of attachment theory, if you know anything about it, there's insecure, and I don't even know the name. I'm not a fan of kind of labels. I don't think it particularly helps, but there's insecure and avoidant and all the ones that there are. You can create your own secure attachment, regardless of what came before. So however misattuned or neglectful or abusive your parents were, obviously that has an effect on how you then relate to yourself, to your kids, to future romantic partners, to the world, whether you think it's safe or not. You can create a secure attachment, even if it's with an imaginary person. So that's how, in essence, the inner parent saved me, because it helped me to feel that I could receive love. And when you learn to receive love, your heart opens, right? And then you can give love. You can't give love fully until you know how to receive. So that's how I came to this work, through feeling utterly broken. And it was the one thing that helped me. And I'm that kind of person that if I go to a restaurant, I'll recommend it. If I've seen a film, I'm like, oh my God, you've got to see this film. Anything I've done, I recommend. So I had, when I did this, I was like, oh my God, I have to pass this on. And that's why I do what I do, because it was world changing for me.
Yeah. So you've said so much in that. And I think that for me, I remember listening to a trauma-informed expert, and he was mentioning about the inner child. And he said that, because you've spoken about parents, yeah? So, but the way he mentioned it, he said that everyone has a broken inner child. And he said that we should all close our eyes and walk to the house where your inner child is. Go to the house where the inner child is, walk in as the adult, as yourself now, and then carry that inner child out of that environment and take them to a place whereby you're saying to that inner child, you are safe, you are okay, and I'm here to protect you. So you have to be that protector that you want. And it's not saying that everyone has had like a terrible childhood whereby they've been molested or had neglect, but I feel like they're especially with single moms, especially I'm speaking to myself as I say this, when you look at your previous relationships, whether it's your romantic relationships, your friendships, your families, there's always a pattern that you can see, whether it's anger or whether you're clingy. And it's just being able to identify that there's a pattern here and want to do something about it, and know that there are practical steps that you can take to do something about it. I loved what you said about the pair. And I think that oftentimes I do tell my clients as well that we as single moms, we are parenting our kids. We are fine when we're in relationships to support our partner, support our families. But when it comes to ourselves, why is it that especially as single moms, especially as moms, that we are the last on the list? And can I ask that actually as a trauma-informed expert as well, like, why is it that we are so willing to serve and not serve ourselves?
Yeah, so you've got kind of 3 points there that are all really important I want to address. So there's the developmental trauma, what it is, because you said it's not necessarily everyone's been molested or whatever. So there's that one I want to answer. I want to answer your question, people-pleasing, why is it there? It's very common symptom of developmental trauma. And then the third thing was the inner parent. Who is it? Is it you or is it someone else? So the inner parent, first of all, I like to say that it's someone else. And I'll tell you why, because this actually feeds back to your people pleasing. You know how to give. You give all day long. You are there for your kids. You're there for your partners. You are there for your friends. You know how to give. What you don't necessarily know how to do is to receive, to be looked after, to be cared for, to have someone else be there and take responsibility. That's one of the reasons why I make sure that the inner parent is not you. Because that's your wound. You are probably so armored and so self-sufficient and so independent, especially as a single mom, that your inner child probably struggles to let people in fully. She probably doesn't trust fully. She probably finds it hard to receive support, love, help, care fully, because she's been let down in the past. It makes complete sense. She's been betrayed. So why on earth would she be like, yeah, hi, yeah, come in. No, she's like, who are you? Not sure. Give me some time. She's very armored. So we learn how to receive from an inner parent who cannot let you down. Why? Because they're imaginary. They are, if you like, Mother Mary, if you're religious, an angel, could be God. It could be I mean, for me, she's just a presence, but she is perfect. She's your sister, role model, coach, mother, best friend, therapist, all rolled into one. So she cannot let you down. And your job is to make sure that you inner parent consistently. That's the key. Every day. I say starting off once a day, every day. If you do that, then you are showing that part of you that's like, who are you? What do you want? Why are you here? Why are you being nice to me? What do you want in return? That part of you that's like pushing back and going, what is this? Doesn't feel nice. And I'm not sure I like someone being nice to me. If you keep showing up as your inner parent, obviously it's you, but it's you're imagining it's someone else. Then slowly, slowly, bit by bit, that part is like, she keeps showing up. She said she would. She said she wasn't going anywhere and she hasn't. And she keeps telling me she loves me. Maybe I am lovable. Maybe I'm not that bad. And you're slowly, bit by bit, undoing the mental tapes that you inherited from your parents. I'm not enough. I'm too much. My needs aren't important. All the rest of it. With these new mental tapes from your inner parent. And also, you even more than me, because you're a single mom. I don't want to get to the end of the day. I'm like, oh, God, I've just put my kids to bed. The dishwasher's on. Oh, God, now I've got to put my inner child to bed. Really? I don't need another chore. Whereas if I go to bed and it's like, oh, I'm going to be put to bed. I'm going to be soothed and told how much I'm lovable and worthy by someone else. Now that's something I could do, right? It turns it from you being the caretaker again for someone else. It's just adding another person onto your plate to you receiving, you being the one that's finally looked after by someone else. That's why I do the inner parent being someone else.
So do you ever have clients that say that they don't have any traumas, but you can identify that they're traumas? And how then do you then tell them that, no, I can see that you need to recruit your inner parent or someone else to assist you?
Well, inner parents don't need to be there just for trauma. Your inner parent helps you. She's like your best friend. Like, say it's, what's it called? People say there's something time. I can't remember. Between bath time and bedtime.
Yeah.
When you're just like, oh, my God, I don't have any energy. I'm knackered. This child's really triggering me right now. That's when your inner parent would meet you there and act maybe like your best friend. Oh, my God, I hate this. Oh, the witching hour. I hate this time. You are doing so well. Keep going, hang on in there, one more hour and you can have a glass of wine or whatever it is that you do. She's validating. It doesn't have to be like this parental kind of pious authoritarian figure. It's she is whatever you need in that moment. So in terms of trauma, so going back to that second point, developmental attachment trauma is not big T trauma. Big T trauma is rape, car crash, plane crash, war, things like that. My clients, your clients may well have experienced that as well. But this is slightly different. This is small T trauma. Small T trauma is not feeling seen, not feeling understood, not feeling like you were able to be yourself because you had to be a certain way for your parents to show love or show you even attention, or to not feel like you were a burden or difficult or inconvenient. That's trauma. And it's trauma because it's affecting you at a very young age when your brain is developing, hence developmental trauma. It's putting these self-limiting beliefs, like we said before, I am not worthy, I'm not important, my needs aren't important. These get seeded in your brain and then your brain hardwires them. So it's developmental trauma, or it's called attachment trauma because it affects how you attach. So yeah, a lot of my clients sometimes have got a lot of resistance coming up. They're like, but no, my childhood was fine. I want to deal with how I'm parenting. I get so triggered, da-da-da-da-da-da. But no, my parents are loving. I get on really well with them now. It was a bit difficult when I was a child, but you know, we had a nice house. We went on holidays. I'm like, okay, yeah. So do you think your parents were there for you always? In all the ways that you needed them to be, because that's impossible. And we know that because we're mothers who know, because we're struggling to be there for our children in all the ways that they need, especially if you have more than one, because they're different. They have different needs. You're pulled in so many directions.
Yeah.
But that is developmental trauma. That is attachment trauma. It is impossible that your parents were there for you in every single way that you needed all the time. So that's what we're looking at. We're focusing on the negative, not because we're making your parents out to be monsters, not at all. Actually, a part of this or a side effect of this work is that you come to acceptance of your parents as the flawed human beings that they are, just as you are a flawed human being. But we get there through releasing the negative.
Yeah, I would say that it wasn't until I became a parent that I then gave my mom grace. I gave my parents grace because I was like, oh my God, I was a real shitbag when I was younger. And now I realize that you did the best you could with the resources that you had and the education level that you had. And so I give myself grace as a parent, and I would look at my child and I give him certain freedoms that I didn't have, even though he might just think it's just normal. But I give him certain freedoms. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned it on another podcast that I woke up in the morning and I was just angry. Like, I just woke up pissed off and I was like, why isn't this clean? Da-da-da-da-da, hurry up, we need to go. And I was like, hurry up, shouting for no apparent reason. And my son said to me, Mom, I'm happy. And I don't know why you're upset, but I don't want this energy, Mom. He said, wow. He said, you can be sad, you could be upset, but I haven't done anything to you, Mommy. Listen, amazing. I clutched my invisible pearls, girl. I said, damn.
Yes.
Oh my God. The thing is, the reason I couldn't even say anything back. I said, do you know what, Josiah? I said, I'm sorry. And he gathered me up. But when I was younger, I would never be able to say that to my mom. Never. So I love the freedom that he has to be able to check me and be like, this is unacceptable behavior and you can do what you want, but I'm not accepting it. And I think I would love that kind of freedom for a lot of moms. And I know you speak about gentle respect parenting. And I feel like when I hear gentle parenting, it's kind of like an icky word now, because it's kind of like, let your child be free and play with this and, you know, play with knives so long, you know. And I feel like we need to kind of change what gentle. It doesn't mean you can still have discipline, but you can still give them respect because they ultimately are going to be representing us outside when they go out there in the world. So I feel like, I love what you said about gentle respect parenting in some of your posts that I've seen. So yeah, please let the audience know a bit about that. And yeah, like how, especially as single moms, how we can parent well, as well as protecting our and healing our inner child, and then also not causing trauma to our wonderful babies who didn't ask to be here. I know I'm giving you so many questions, but yeah, it's just all the things that are popping up.
How can we avoid passing on trauma by dealing with our own? Bottom line, that's the only way to stop. And actually, I'm going to pick you up on something you said. I love what you said, and I love the feeling and the place it came from, that you gave your parents grace when you became a parent because you were like, oh my God, I was a nightmare. This is really hard. And I don't know, I'm sure you have because you've done a lot of healing, but a lot of people skip to that step without doing the negative release first. I would say for me, I was the opposite. When I became a parent, that's when I realized that I hadn't had a perfect childhood. Up until I became a parent, I thought that I was very close to my parents. I thought it was all fine. I couldn't see beyond the kind of veil of positivity that I'd put on top of my childhood. Because of the way that I was parenting my children, that's what you started with. Oh my God, I'm shouting. I don't want to. A lot of my clients end up hitting, not necessarily their kids, but hitting something, throwing something, breaking something. You're so fucking angry. It needs to come out somewhere. And that's not what they wanted to do. That's when I realized that this came from somewhere other than me. So it was when I started parenting, when I became a mum, that I faced my limitations as to being the gentle, respectful, conscious parent that I wanted to be. So that's when I went back to my childhood and looked at all the ways my parents weren't there for me, which I hadn't been aware of. Yes, you come to the grace at the end. They tried their best. They had limited resources. They had limited tools, blah, blah, blah. But we can't skip the step, which is also true, that that best wasn't enough. That is the crux of it, because that's where you look at the ways that you hurt in the past, only so that you can release it. Once you've released it, you're clear, and it can't then be projected onto your kids. But up until that point, it's there because your body holds the score. Your body holds on to trauma. And again, we're not talking big T trauma. We're talking small T trauma. It can be being told that you have to give up dance classes because it's not convenient for your parents to take you in.
Yeah.
It could be having a really scary dad who used to shout and scream and yell, and your mum never standing up to him. Right? So it's... We're not blaming our parents, but we are going towards the pain that we experience. Because if you don't, that is what comes out on your children unconsciously. You don't even realize it. Because when you're really angry or really hungry or really tired, and something your child does reminds you of a time that you were a child or a teenager, you will act from that place. And you will act in a trauma response. You're going to fight or fly or flee.
Yeah.
And that's when you end up.
I feel like there's definitely a father imprint and a mother imprint on me. Yeah.
I would say
that those are the reasons why I have made certain relationship choices and things. Because I did, I say it on my platform as well, that It wasn't until I went through therapy that I realized that my dating patterns, I would only date a guy that could provide. Because when my father had visitation, for example, he would come bearing gifts. So that was, yeah, so that's how I looked at love. So when I was in a toxic relationship and he cheated, as an example, he would know that, you know what, I would just buy her gifts, you know. And that's how, so when I could see that there was a pattern, and it wasn't until my therapist told me, I was like, okay, cool. So I do know that they are imprints. They are imprints. And I've taken down my spiritual route. I'm a Christian, so I pray about it, and I've given myself grace. I've given my parents grace, but it's not something I've sat down to actually think about, you know, the long lasting effects that it could have. And I do think that they, so what advice would you actually give to a single mom who feels overwhelmed and doesn't really want to delve into that inner child journey? Because I don't mind doing it, and I don't mind unraveling like an onion, because I know if it's going to help my kid generationally.
It doesn't have to be traumatic. Yeah. I would say that. It doesn't have to be traumatic. So what you've done is you've connected the dots between your past and your present in terms of your dating choices. Amazing. That helped you make different choices. But those dating choices weren't made in a trauma response. You were picking guys based on the legacy of your father's imprint on you. Parenting, as you know, as I know very well, is way more stressful than dating. I hope.
Yes.
It's you are at the end of your tether, especially as a single mom. You don't have anyone to hand over to when you're exhausted or when you're ill or when you've had a really bad day and you know you shouldn't be parenting. We can say, can you take over? I can't do this. I'm about to lose it.
Lose my shit. Yeah.
But it's those points where you are then going into like your survival brain. That's not exactly the same. So what I'm saying is, in terms of dating choices, it's more conscious. You've still got this part of your brain that is aware of logic, reasoning, the consequences of your actions. This bit is offline when we're governed by the survival brain. And if you're at the end of your tether, and often our kids do this to us because they push our triggers, they want us to be whole. That's what they want. We are in a state where we can't necessarily make those decisions like you do about dating. We can't go, oh, hold on. This guy is reminding me of my dad. We can't in that moment necessarily always go, hold on, what? So that's where this work comes in, for those times when you're reacting from a place that doesn't feel in control. You feel volatile, you feel out of control, it feels visceral, you're overreacting. That's where this work comes in. But it doesn't have to be really, really scary. This isn't about me leading you like, come on then, let's go and look at all the traumatic stuff. No, that's where we're going. Tell me the worst memory you've got. Of course not.
Dragging them there.
No, and in fact, that's not helpful. That's re-traumatizing. This work is led by your inner child. So she comes up with what she's ready to look at. And normally it's in the form of triggers. So you've given us a beautiful example of how you've parented your son. Amazingly, you've created the space for him to go, that's not okay. Boundaries, you just crossed them, back off. How amazing is that? But another example of him triggering you, if that came up, then that would be like, oh, that's what you're ready to look at because it's come up for you. So let's look at when you remember feeling the same way. And don't get me wrong, it's not a walk in the park. No, it's deep, but you're looking at it to clear it. And it means that the next time your son does exactly the same thing, which is probably annoying in its own right, you're just like, I hate it when he does that. So annoying. But you don't have this visceral overreaction. So you're clearing stuff for you so that you feel calmer and for your kids.
So what are practical steps? So obviously, like you said, that the conscious mind, yeah. So what are practical steps that single moms can take when they feel like they're going to sell their kids on eBay or Amazon and they can't, we haven't got anyone to hand over the annoying teenager to? So yeah, give us, yeah, practical steps.
So with my teenager, well, she's a tween, actually, she's 12, and I've got a 14-year-old. So I've got a teenager, tween, and a little one who's 10. My mantra in my head is hold the line. Hold the line. Because teenagers are a little bit like toddlers. If you can hold space for whatever big emotion they're feeling in that moment, they will come out of it. And you will get the real loving, sweet, whoever they are, beyond their tantrum back. The problem is holding the line. And it can feel very triggering, especially with a teen or a tween who's using all sorts of bad language and basically disrespecting you, especially if you came from a background where your parents were authoritarian. Yeah, not, you don't talk to your parents like that. You don't answer back. You do what I say. Otherwise, you'll get a spanking or you'll be grounded or whatever it was, punishment. We're trying not to do that, most of us. We're trying not to be this power play, authoritarian, fear-based parent because it didn't particularly work for us. We may have done what we were meant to do because we were scared, but I don't want my child to be scared of me. But sometimes that comes out, and it especially comes out if I'm being disrespected. That's a massive trigger for me. If my daughter or anyone speaks to me, anyone, even if someone in a call center, I can't bear if someone doesn't treat me in the way that I feel is respectful, especially if I'm a client or I'm paying for something. I have this thing about I need to be treated with respect.
And yeah, see, you probably like send your food back. I would eat it if I don't like it. I'm like,
I always send my food back.
I feel like they will spit in it. No.
My granny did say that. Never do that. They'll spit in it. They'll wipe it on the floor. But I'm like, it's not what I ordered, or I ordered it rare. It's not rare. And my kids are like, oh my God.
Oh, I can't. Oh, I can't. Yeah.
I'm half French, so French people send their stuff back.
Oh.
No, I always do that because anyway, that is partly my trigger. So I have to manage it. I have to be like, is this the time to send it back? Is this the time to say something? Who's overreacting here? Is it a wound or am I reinforcing a boundary? So one's a value. One's a wound. Your son asserted his boundary. That wasn't wound driven. Mum, I don't know why you're angry. It's cool that you are, but can you stop inflicting it on me?
There's always an extreme. Yeah.
That's why it comes up in me. So that's two things. You've got a tool to do in the moment, and then you've got the work to do afterwards. Why does this trigger me so much? What do I remember from my childhood that made me feel the same way that I feel when someone's disrespecting me? And you heal that again with the inner parent.
Brilliant. And I know you've got your program, Make Peace with Your Past. Make Peace with Your Past. And I know you mentioned earlier that the body keeps the score. I actually read the book and I thought it was amazing. So please tell us a bit about the program and how single moms can access it and why you created it, actually.
Yeah, good question. I created it because I've always done one-to-one work for 8 years now, and I love it. But I want to reach more people. I want to be more accessible in terms of price. I want to be, personally, I believe every single person needs to do this work because everyone has small T trauma. It's impossible not to. And we all want to be the mums that we want to be, right? And I think I can't change the politicians in this world. I can't stop wars. But what I can do is at least make sure that my kids feel safe enough, like your son does, to respect his boundaries, ask that other people respect them, be so grounded in who he is that he can go out there in the world and be who he needs to be, not who you need him to be. Right? Yes, we are their parents, but we don't want to be passing on any of our wounds. I think that that is our duty, frankly. We may not have thought long and hard about being mothers. I certainly didn't before I became a mom. But now that I am a mom, I realize that I don't want to be passing on my shit. That's not fair. They didn't ask to be born. They didn't ask to carry my burdens forward into the next generation. So I feel it's our duty to clear at least what came behind us, our mother imprint, father imprint, grandmother imprint, grandfather imprint, right? It goes back, back, back. These things are just passed on unconsciously until we do the work. So that's why I created this course as a way of bringing this fundamental, I'm so passionate about it, you can see, this fundamental work to more women at a more affordable price point. And I say that because it's still not nothing. It's $599 now. It's on launch, special launch price. But the reason that's affordable, and of course you've got a payment plan, is because this is for life. For life. You pay that once.
You can access it.
You have access to it for years and years and years. I mean, until I die, basically. So you've got this program that is so thorough. I can't tell you. It took me a year to put together. It's got every single thing that I've ever done with any woman in it. Maybe it's too thorough. I don't know. But that's why you've got your whole life to go through it. I want people to pace themselves. I want them to do it at their own speed. And you've got these calls. You've got 2 calls a month with me.
Wow.
So you're asking, you're bringing, yesterday I screamed at my kid. I don't know what happened. I was really trying to in a parent. Can you tell me, can you give me insights on what might have happened? Yes, tell me, let's go through it. So you've got this course that you're doing at your own pace because it's trauma-informed. And you've got me. And you've got this community. And I don't know if you've ever done any community work, but my God, the power of a group to hear your stories. I mean, that's what you're doing now on this podcast, right? You are sharing your story and it touches people's hearts. Because of course it does, because they feel that hurting place in them that hurts in you. That's the power of group healing. It magnifies it. When you heal, someone else heals. When someone else heals, you heal. It's magnetized. So you've got the program, you've got the community, and you've got this one-to-one coaching from me. So it's, you know, I know the cost of living is crazy. Everyone is struggling. So I'm not saying that, $599 is nothing. It's, of course, it's a significant investment and it's for life. So you will get your money's worth 100%. In fact, my kids even said to me, are you mad? You're saying it's for life? And I'm like, yeah, because, yeah. And they're like, for life? And I said, yes. Are you going to be doing that? And I was like, well, I hope so. That's what I hope to do. Yeah, because that's my commitment to the mothers out there that are struggling, because I know how dark and how black it feels to feel like you can't cope, because I was there. And I don't want anyone to feel like that again.
I love that. I think healing is a life. It is a life choice. It's a life journey. And I do find sometimes, like with some of the ladies that I speak to, because I do their life coaching, it's like they have a session and they go away and they're like, oh my God, Khalifa, I saw a picture of my ex-partner's new girlfriend and something comes up again. And I say to them, did you carry on journaling? Did you carry on doing all the practical steps that I've told you about? No. And I'm like, you can't just feel like it's just you eat once and you're full forever. You know, that's not how it works. You have to carry on doing the practical steps. So you blessing moms and women out there, giving it lifetime access is amazing, because you know that it's not just
I fall off just the wagon. We all fall off the wagon. No one's a robot. No, we're not the Dalai Lama, are we? We are in the thick of it. Every single day is an opportunity to practice, because every single day your child is going to trigger you, or someone's going to trigger you. The bus driver, someone at the checkout in Aldi, someone may trigger you. So this is where we're going. We're almost being like detectives in our own life. Yeah. Ooh, I just got triggered. Oh, how interesting. Yeah. What is that about? And we're coming towards ourselves as like a project with compassionate curiosity. I in a parent all the time? No, I often forget. What was it the other day? I was saying, God, I'm so it was actually launching this course. I'm so excited about it and so passionate, but I also fall into, oh, maybe no one's going to want it. Maybe this is too long, or it's too heavy, or, oh God, maybe, and you know, all the self-doubt comes in. And I was telling someone about it and I was like, God, it's boring. I'm just boring myself. And then I thought, hold on. Is that how I talk to my inner child? You're just boring me. Shut up, will you? Shut up. You're just boring. That's the part of me that is worried about being exposed, about someone going, this is shit. You said it would be a great course. It's shit. I don't believe that. But part of me does. Part of me thinks, what if no one likes me? What if I'm rejected? And here I'm going, oh my God, you're so boring. Shut up. No. Yeah. So I forget. We all forget. But all I say is, I am the same as everyone. I really, really am. And I am not a perfect parent. This work doesn't mean you're a perfect parent. But all I have is a few more tools under my belt, and I'm sharing them. I am a few more steps ahead. I am practicing constantly. We all are. And that's all we can ever do. And sometimes I fall off the bandwagon. That's okay. Like you said, grace. My biggest practice, and a lot of the biggest practice my clients face because they come from a trauma background, is turning shame into self-acceptance. If you can do that, that's your biggest tool.
Yeah, I love that. And I do believe that this is the only life we get. We have to make the best of it. And there are so many helpful tools that are out there, and we have to invest in ourselves, because our kids are going to grow and they're going to go. And we have to remember that. We don't want to be the helicopter parent forever. And we have to carve out our life and carve out our own healing. And at the age that we're in now, the internet age, we have access to stuff like this. So we have to utilize it. So everyone that's listening, please check out her page. Yeah, where can people find you on social media?
So I'm at The Inner Child Healing Expert on Facebook, on Instagram. Going back to affordability, I'm really big into being accessible. So I have a free workbook. It's got three, and I'm not one of these people that just puts out one sheet and go, oh yeah, this is a workbook. It's a really good workbook. It teaches you how to manage your triggers, how to talk back to that inner critic that you mentioned at the beginning. It's really good, how to self-care, what that even means, how to practice that in daily life. That is free. I have, what do I do? 4 posts every week. I do 1 vlog a month. I do 1 blog a month. There's lots and lots of resources just on that Instagram page. If you don't have the money right now, it's not accessible to you. If you do, I have 2 self-led courses that are $25. That's like, what, £19? I have a course that's £75. Again, it's really deep. It teaches you how to reparent in depth. And then, of course, I've got this program, which is at the price point, because it's for life and you get the calls. But there's always something that you can access, always. If it means starting free, do the free and see how you go. But, you know, yeah, please don't say, oh, no, I can't afford it. There's always something that you can afford. And the free stuff is really, really helpful to be getting on with.
Yes, lovely. Thank you so much for taking out the time and coming on the Happy Single Moms podcast. You have been amazing and given us so many gems. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And keep going. Oh my God. I really think you are the unsung heroes. I mean, being a mum, as you know, is the most important thing in this world. To do that on your own, you have to be doubly resourced. You really do. So I want to help you guys as much as possible because you're being the mother and the father.
Yeah, right.
These mother and father imprints are coming up even more for you because you're that double role model. So I would love to support anyone that feels called to do this work. Please, please, please reach out. I'm here. Oh, and I want to add one more thing. If people aren't sure about the course, if it feels like, oh, it sounds amazing, but I'm not sure, I offer free consults. 15-minute consult. I'll give you the link and you can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's really difficult to take that leap of faith because that's what it is. You know, in the end, you're like, well, it's a lot of money. Is it right for me? So I'm really happy again just to, it doesn't have to finish. This isn't a sales call. This isn't me going, no, you must do the course. If that helps them, that 15 minutes of chatting about where they're stuck, if I can help them move beyond that, That's what I've given them.
And you do the payment plans anyway. We love a good payment plan. So that's awesome. So you've actually accommodated for so many people in regards to the free, the calls and everything like that. But that's amazing. But yeah, thank you so much for taking out the time.